This is Michael Coe from the Punk Rock and Politics Podcast, and you're listening to some of the best podcasts available on the internet, only on the No Phony Podcast Network.
Which is a Heroes Garage podcast where we talk about comic book speculation, the ongoing titles that we're reading, and every now and then we'll geek out over our all-time favorites. So Adrian, what have you been up to?
Nothing much, just living life, just taking care of my family, doing a lot of work. But other than that, just need to go watch Captain Marvel. I'm slow to the game on that one, but hopefully I'll get to watch that soon.
So. We'll have to talk about that maybe in one of our podcasts. I saw it a week or so ago.
All right. I got caught up on homework and definitely watch it so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
That'd be good to do.
Cool. So today we're going to be doing a book review. And Adrian, what book is it that you wanted to talk about tonight?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a couple books, but since, lack of time, I'll have more reviews for you guys next week. But this week, I just wanted to talk about Little Bird. I think that was probably one of the bigger indie books that came out just last week. And I read the book, and I got a review for you, if you're ready.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So, with Little Bird, a few things. The writer behind Little Bird, the name escapes me. I apologize, and the artist also escapes me. But I'll make sure to have more of that information next time. But the writer of Little Bird, I guess, is sort of popular and known. Not really known to me, but known to others. And I thought the art is... Some people don't like the art. Some people find the art kind of jarring. I don't think that the art is... awful by any means. I think there are some panels that are really nice. There are some panels that are, okay. I think that when the artist has the freedom to kind of capture more like broad strokes of landscape or more contemplative panels during struggles, it's good. I think whenever it gets a little too busy, and maybe it's all almost just the book itself, it can be a little bit over the top. So let's talk about the writing in itself. I think that the concepts are good. I think the writing is decent. I don't think that this is novel. So now there's others in the community that really feel like, oh, this is spec worthy. It might be a hidden gem. When I compare it to the two major indie books in my mind that have come out as of late, which is Middle West and Die, it doesn't stack up to me as far as uniqueness. But I would say that as opposed to Middle West, where the story is being created by very broad strokes, I would say that Little Bird's story can be more intricate in a sense. And it was very easy for me to follow. And the last couple panels were very intriguing. And I felt that he correctly left sort of carrots for us that we really want to chomp on to get the next book. I felt like there were enough strings there that you want to kind of see where they go. And they were easy to follow, not overly complex. And so I enjoyed that. You know, the premise of the book to me isn't novel because it is a post-apocalyptic to me future. where you have, I guess it's in Canada, you have a sort of a human faction of people that kind of live a more basic life, more maybe savage life. And then you have another group of people that I would say is more dominating the world, and they're run by a religious fanatical group, and they have kind of like a bishop, and the sort of savage side of people, this this area in Canada, is run by a woman who happens to be Little Bird's mom. And the way you get started on the story is that she's out to release something that will help them win this war, this conflict. And she tells Little Bird, you know, come out in 3 days, and if you know, something doesn't go well, then you go activate this thing. I don't want to kind of like blow it up for anybody.
You don't want to spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it, but it was intriguing because there is a shared history between her mom and sort of those people and the thing that she wants to activate, and the leader of this group. And as far as we'll say that he has a sort of intimate relationship with Little Bird's mom, it explores it a little bit, and it even talks about, it even explores the relationship between this weapon, this thing that they want to activate, and also this bishop and the past history. I thought those bits were very intriguing, and that's what I want to see explored, and I think it's going to get there. Now, this is a mini. I think it's only a 6-issue mini, so the story is going to be very poignant, probably. It's going to be short. It's going to be sweet, and I think there's a lot of room to explore. I'm very intrigued. For me, the most intriguing points of the story are, what is the relationship between Little Bird's mom and this, you know, sort of fanatical religious group, especially the bishop? What is their shared history? What is the shared history between this weapon and this group? And you see a panel where the weapon, well, I won't ruin it, but it's a person, and that person made a deal, you know? Mm-hmm. So what is all this? And even the last panel kind of ended off in a cliffhanger. You're like, what? You know, so I really enjoyed the book. I think I would say the story, right now it's an 8 out of 10. But I think it could be much, much better. We'll see. I think it was a great start. I think the art is about a 7 or 8. I think it lends itself to the story. So it's a recommend for me. And I hate saying this. I mean, these guys live off you buying copies of this book. Yeah. So buy the copies. But they also make money off the trade paperback. I almost would dare to say this would be a great trade paperback story. There's some Image books that they're so much better read when you get it all at once. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And some Image books, it's like, man, you can definitely read each copy as it comes out. It's all your feel, how excited, how pumped you are over the story. Like, for me, Die, I want to get every copy, man. I got to know. I got to see what's going on, you know. But some stories are very, you know, it's different. So, like, even East of West, I always buy the trade paperbacks. East of West has a lot of layers. And I could see Little Bird being like that. Very politically heavy, you know. I kind of want to digest it all at once, if you will. But, you know, I would say, as from a spec standpoint, I would say, could it be optioned? That's always what we're asking about with indies. Could it be optioned? It could, but I don't see it as clear as I would say Die is going to be optioned. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I see a lot more potential in other books. Though, I could always be wrong, because I don't know if you knew, but Port of Earth was optioned, and you and I reviewed that book, and I thought it was mediocre.
Yeah, it's interesting what gets optioned, too. And getting back to your point as far as graphic novel or a collected volume versus issue to issue, like Paper Girls is one where I collect the graphic, the entire, like the graphic novel.
Right.
And I like to read that. It's easier for me to digest that story piled and stacked together like five issues at a time, because I like to binge the whole thing. There's right. other stuff like Gideon Falls. Actually, once you get behind in that, I found it harder to go back to it, and I'd rather read that one issue to issue to kind of keep up a little bit with what's going on in the story. So it's interesting how some books are like that. Another one like that for me was Infidel. I was reading it issue to issue, but I actually wondered if it would have been just as good or even better to get the collected volume, the graphic novel, and just like read it all in one or two sittings.
Right.
So yeah, I would say that about that book, but I think it's good, and I think the more I think about it, the more it grows on me. And there are some far out panels. I wish that the writer would ground some things a little bit. I think it's a little bit far out. And I also think there's some interesting things in play here, because obviously there's a play on sort of religion, because, you know, in today's world, when we talk about Catholics and Christians and whatnot, sometimes people feel there's a conflict between genetic modification and what God would deem as natural, that the human beings are forcing their hand. And this fanatical organization looks like they're willing to do some genetic adjustments or things, or researching genetic modifications to people. And they kind of discuss that, because they kind of say, it's sort of like the dark side of their group, and they're always saying, God would allow that if it's for his, for propelling this religion. So it's kind of interesting. Now, where it's far out is there's certain sections where there's augmented genetic beings, where like you see like their organs floating around some weird capsules, and I thought it was like, okay, that's where it's like way weird, and it didn't have to. I felt like he could reach his points. What it's almost like he's trying to hit you over the head. Yeah. And I just don't need that in the art per se. I get it. They're genetically modified. You don't have to show me something insane where they're walking around with where their chest is literally a capsule and you can see organs floating inside. Like, that's just weird. Yeah. So I think that's the parts a little bird where I was like, okay, that's a little far out for me. But otherwise, great book. And then before I leave tonight, I did want to hit you off with some spec stuff. So I would like everyone to take this with extreme grain of salt and be careful with your monies. All right. Now, there's someone in our group, one of our comic groups, I believe it's the Facts group, that said that they follow Sean Murphy, the Batman White Knight artist of that fame, and also did Tokyo Ghost for Remender. He tweeted out, he says, "I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if Tokyo Ghost was in the works, and it will melt your faces off." So it kind of like suggesting that they're optioning or making a movie out of Tokyo Ghost. So I bought a bunch of copies while they're affordable. If you see Tokyo Ghost for a couple bucks, number one, there's pick it up. There's a B cover. That's the general fare. There's a convention variant, which is black and white of the A cover. And then there's a retailer variant, which kind of like East of West is really rare. There might be only 1,000 copies in existence. Even before Tokyo Ghost was even rumored to have this going on, which, let me tell you, that rumor is really not really spreading like wildfire to anybody, because you can still get copies on eBay for decent value. that's like a $200 book even without the hype. And obviously, like East of West has also a retailer variant, and that, I mean, then you could buy the 9/8 before the news of the option for $300 or $400. Now it's like over $1,000. There's also a retailer variant of Saga, when, you know, Saga is like the most popular indie book, one of the most popular of all time. That's like a 2.5K book. So, you know, if, you know, be mindful of your money. And this is just rumor. Now, the other one, look, I wasn't collecting in 05 because I kind of took a break, you know, after high school. Then I kind of started collecting again and reading again the past two years. There's a book, and I don't know if you know about the character Niobe. I'm not sure. Have you heard of that character?
I feel like I've seen the name, but I don't know. No, I
right.
don't know.
It's, enough to it's talk like about. A, it's, she's a half elf and she's African American, and it's built on this kind of universe where the main character is a half elf and it's African American. And I don't know a lot. I think he pulls from African mythology and stuff like that, and blends it with, you know, other fantasy mythology. It sounds fascinating. So one of the guys in one of our groups showed a screenshot saying that HBO had bought the rights to the entire universe. I haven't seen that news at all official, right? Because to me, it's official when Comic Book News is saying it. When we hear it in various articles, like the buzz gets around. Now, the buzz got around off this rumor. Maybe it's not a rumor, maybe it's founded, where it's a strong enough that people started buying this stuff all over the place. Now, the prices are probably out of hand now, but you never know. If you see a copy of Naomi, this Naomi is Life number one, which is her first comic book solo series, that might be worth it. And then her first appearance is Untamed number one, and that's these are indie books, like they were Kickstarters, so they might, you know, it's on eBay, but the prices are going up. It might be worthwhile, you know, who knows? I mean, if the rumor's true, we're looking at the new Game of Thrones. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, this is the spec stuff that I've been seeing. And then the last thing I would say is, if you're out there going and buying a lot of Naomi number one, take a step back. Now, I'm saying this only for one reason.
Yeah.
I think my man has big ideas for the character. I think we're in a buy low opportunity, and I think you should be patient. Now, I got three copies of the number one and the number one B variant. I paid four of those copies. I paid for cover. Two of those copies I had to pay $10 each because, you know, if the character's hyped. And I just didn't want to lose out. I didn't want to be on the fence because I just... There's not many opportunities that you get to be on the ground floor of a new character.
Yeah.
So a lot of us missed the boat because we're like, it's Naomi. She doesn't look like she's powered. Wahaha, fools on us. But that's only, Naomi is said to be finished after 6 issues.
Oh, really?
But then he's going to do another, like a...
Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, he's going to do like another set. You know, okay. But he's going to finish at 6. Buy low opportunity. So what I say is that don't buy anything right now. Wait till issue 6 comes out. It'll probably be hype. Maybe she has powers and stuff. But then they won't publish the book for a couple months. Or maybe it's in a year or whatever. The hype is going to fall. Right? Because, oh, it was a mini. I don't know what Ben is doing with this character anymore. I thought that Naomi was going to be like a, you know, a long going series, and obviously it's not at the time being. The prices of those books, I assume, will drop. That's a good time to buy. So I would say that. And the last one is that this is kind of like, it's a secret, but it's not a secret. It's kind of like it's happening, but it's not happening. Venom's son was revealed to be in Venom 7 and I believe Venom number 9. There's variants on those. Those you might want to tap into. Those is Dylan Brock, especially if he becomes powered. Especially if Venom had the son while he had the symbiote, I don't know what that means. Like, he could end up being augmented, powered, or something. And it's not every day that you get a new character in the Marvel Universe that might have abilities. So, he could become big. I'm not sure. This is a rumor only. But it is the first appearance of his son, Dylan Brock. So, buy some copies. And a couple more things. And then, you know, Donny Cates is doing the Dark Silver Surfer. Did you see that? He's coming out with a new series called like Dark Silver Surfer or Black Silver Surfer. So in his Thanos run, he had Silver Surfer all in black, and he was followed by like this kind of swarm of cosmic creatures, and he was wielding Thor's hammer. So, like, a lot of people believe that's the Silver Surfer he's talking about. You know, anything that Donny Cates turns to gold. So if that's the Silver Surfer, the first cover appearance of that Silver Surfer is Thanos 15 of his run. And I think it's the third printing. And on the third printing, they show the cover of that. And you can still buy those for cover price right now, though it's starting to dry up. So that's now, I don't want people going crazy because it may not be that Silver Surfer, but that's just kind of like a hot tip. You know, maybe buy a couple copies, see what happens. There's a lot of those kind of things going on. And then Immortal Hulk is just so, it's so fire. I mean, like,
I love that book.
if you buy two or three copies of every issue of Immortal Hulk, I mean, you'll probably end up with a winner, and you'll probably be able to sell it all back if you want to sell it after you read it or whatever for profit, because like every issue is selling out and everybody's getting hyped because, you know, spoiler alert, Tom, you can close your ears, but in Immortal Hulk number 15, it shows that A-Bomb's grave is empty. So, and it pretty much suggests that every Hulk is immortal. Like, no Hulk ever dies. So, okay.
And it's such a good book. It's so epic. But go ahead.
And then the last one, I don't want to ruin Endgame for you. So, everybody, spoiler alert, put your earmuffs on. Run away. Tom, close your ears. But it is suggested that Bruce Banner and Hulk will merge to create Professor Hulk. So that Professor Hulk would be then, that's kind of why you see them struggling with each other and why the Hulk is not coming out, but eventually they merge into becoming Professor Hulk. And so, you know, there is a first appearance of Professor Hulk. A lot of people are already specking on it, and it's expensive. But, you know, if you want it, get it. And then lastly, I have no idea who the person is, but it is rumored that Doctor Strange was filming a lot of scenes with an all CGI character, and the majority of the budget, believe it or not, of Endgame is revolving around this all CGI character. I don't know who that is. I don't know if it's a hero. I don't know if it's a villain. I don't know who that is. So there's a lot of, you could think it's, I think in the Ultimates universe, Marvel Ultimates, there's Entropy. There's Entropy's son. There's Silver Surfer. You know, there's all Galactus. There's, you know, all these crazy type of characters that it could be that need to be all CGI. I don't know. So obviously use your imagination. And if you feel like you think you know what it is, then go buy a couple copies of he or she's first appearance.
Yeah. To kind of build on the rumor discussion, the last bit of news that is kind of going around the internet today, March 19th, 2019, is that Captain Marvel is not going to fly around and kill all the bad guys.
Oh, yeah. I read that. Yeah.
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 So I don't know what you think about. I think that's smart to put that out in the news for two reasons. Number one, if it's not true, it's probably a good idea if it's not true, because the movie wouldn't be all that exciting. But then you don't want people to think that they already know what's going to happen in Endgame, because Captain Marvel is just so powerful, she'll just come in and solve all the problems.
Well, then to me, it would just be like a Dragon Ball Z movie, where you have, like, everyone's super-powered, and you spend 20 minutes, like, building up energy balls that you throw at each other while while planets get destroyed in your wake. Which kind of makes Dragon Ball Z cool, but anyway.
Yeah, it is cool. I was going to say, that's what makes the Dragon Ball Z kind of cool.
Right, that's what makes it fun and outrageous. So,
a couple of plugs I'll give. Just books that I'm reading. These are not speculation plugs. These are just books that I'm reading tonight. I have found to be extremely enjoyable. There's a book coming out tomorrow. It's a number one out of Dark Horse by G. Willow Wilson called Invisible Kingdom.
I have 15 copies of that waiting for me.
I love that book.
With Ward as the artist? Yeah.
Or that may have actually, I feel like I'm getting my dates all mixed up. That was actually issued last Wednesday, the 13th, I believe. And Christian Ward's the artist.
It's coming out this week, though. It's coming out this week. You got the advanced copy.
Oh. Gotcha. I don't know.
Yeah, because the Invisible Kingdom is coming out this week.
This week. Okay. Mm-hmm. Such a good story. G. Willow Wilson.
I'm glad to hear that, because I got it for the artist because I love the artist. But
yeah, the art is great. It really, what it is the, in the back matter, I'll only say one little thing because I'm pretty sure they're using it on all the promo material. But it's basically a story about nuns in space. So,
yeah. I read that already. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, say no more. And G. Willow Wilson is such a good writer, and you will not be disappointed. So I want to give a plug.
Now
for
let
that.
Let me ask you a question for the peeps that are listening. Yeah. Now I haven't read the advanced copy yet. Now would you say that book has a story that's unique that you could see on TV movie? Like, do you have that vibe out of it? Like a special vibe? Do you get the special vibes?
You know what? I get the special vibes out of it.
Okay.
Because of the writing. The writing is, they tap into these things. I guess I'm using the word granular a lot, but she really taps into things that made stories special back in the day. Like, when you think about Star Wars back in 1970s, and I'm old enough to remember when it was released, one of the things that was really cool about it is that even though it was a story about a space society with all this advanced technology, it was gritty, it was dirty, you had specific details in the story that made it relatable, and this has all of that. And they have these cargo. Well, I don't want to spoil anything because it comes out tomorrow, but it's really a good story in that way. And also, when you think about nuns in space, you know that it's not going to be about the Catholic Church, right? So you get out of the way.
right.
But it's going to have that kind of metaphysical aspect to it. And I think that kind of elevates, you can do a lot with those kinds of stories that you can play with themes. You can play with, themes. So I think that the writer does a really nice job with that as well. And Christian Ward does a nice job capturing the imagery that parallels the exposition and the narrative. So you can do a lot with that in a movie. So I'd be very interested, actually, when you get your... I think it has legs.
All right. Okay. Well, I got 15 copies waiting for me. Maybe I'll buy some more.
Yeah. The other thing I'll give another plug for, and this is not even spec at all, is Martian Manhunter has a 12-issue maxi going on. And Steve Orlando is kind of one of these writers. He's not like Brian Michael Bendis or some of the others who really has a lot of street cred from time to time. But he's really doing a great job with the story. And he's going back to the origins of Martian Manhunter and like talking about and kind of delving into, if you will, this whole story about how did Martian Manhunter get to Earth and I just find it really interesting, and I like the art a lot too, so I want to plug that book as well. I'm trying to think if there's another indie book that I read that I really liked. It's slipping my mind, so I thought I had another one, but I forgot which book it is. Immortal Hulk, I'm not going to say this as far as the spec, but as a story, it just feels epic. Everything feels important, and it feels like he's tapping into the mythos of the Hulk in a way that has been lacking in a Hulk story for years. And there's already a lot of people reading that book, but if you're not reading the book, I would say go and start reading that book. Pick up an issue. You will not be disappointed. Al Ewing knows what he's doing, and Joe Bennett's art on that book has been stupendous. So that's my plug for Immortal.
Yeah, Hulk. I'm going to have to start buying the trade paperbacks because I've missed. I have a couple copies here and there, but I need to start reading from scratch.
Have you been reading any of Bitterroot, David F. Walker?
I heard that's good. I've heard that I'm going to start reading that actually soon.
Yeah, that's another one where I think it might be ending after 5 issues or there's a break because I pre-ordered it. And I noticed in my last poll that they didn't have it in the stack. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. But they might be just taking a break and coming back to it. But visually, if you like Power Man and Iron Fist, you have Sanford Green back on art with David F. Walker. So if that's not enough to get someone motivated, and maybe they didn't know if they didn't hear about the book, once you hear that,
right?
If you like Power Man and Iron Fist, you will love this. So that's a pretty good story.
All right.
So with that, that is going to conclude this issue of Long Box Scavengers, where once again we talk about the speculation market, we will review ongoing titles, and we will dive into some of our all-time favorites every now and then. So for now, until next time, so long.
All right, see you guys later.